So the Pasuk says that when Moshe came down with the Har Sinai, with the Luchas, Pashas, it's the last time, the second Luchas, so it says, Kikoran Orpanov. His face had this shine. There was a light coming out of Moshe's face. So there, on the sheet here, there are two different perushim why Hashem made this miracle. It's a nace. We know Hashem doesn't do miracles for no reason. It's one of the generally speaking, Hashem runs the world, abiderech hateva. Here, Hashem made a miracle that Moshe, light should come out of Moshe's face. So the Bavli Tosfos, that's on the top of the page, have one explanation, and the Alshech, the bottom of the page, has a second explanation. So I want to go through both explanations. They're a little bit two separate shmuzim, and just they'll tie them together. They have a common connection of these. The Bavli Tosfos, the reading regretfully is a little bit hard to read. It's really not at all relevant to the shmuz, but I guess we should read it. Vihine Koran, that's the pasuk. The first two words is he's quoting the pasuk. It says that Vihine Koran or Panav. So the first two words are the pasuk. Then is a comma. What does that mean? Shehivrik Oiro, that it was like a lighting of his, they were shining his light. Miziv Ashchina. Pekain, okay. Likewise, there's a pasuk, it's in Chavakuk. Karnayim miyodo lo. So that's a lo, not a li, misprint. It means that also that the shine that they Klai Yisrael has comes from miyodo, comes from Klai Yisrael, from Hashem. From Hashem to him, to Klai Yisrael. Venerely. Now the question is, why is light called Karen? Karen really means, we had in Baba Kama, it means horns. So Kishaboker, or when the sun rises in the morning, Doime La'ayo, it looks like the sun rising, the rays of the sun coming up, it looks like an ayo, a ram. Shekarnav Mifusados and Mispalatzel Eidach Ve'edach. That is, horns are, Mifusados means they're breaking off. So they're breaking off in different directions. Now, when the sun shines, it looks like the beams are coming out in different directions. So it looks like horns of the sun. So therefore, when a light is shining, it's used the expression of horns. Is that Lashon Karen? Okay. That had nothing to do with anything. That was just because it's put it down there, how to read it. Okay. So now it gets to the point that we wanted. So the question is, why did Hashem do this? Since they made a mistake, they wanted to appoint the ayo as a manik instead of Moshe. Therefore Hashem made a nes that Moshe's face should shine from the light of the Shekhinah, laharos, to show everyone, the hand to them, Shlohaya Manik Roikamo, that Moshe is the most proper manik. Now, if you went ahead and wanted to go ahead and pick the ayo, so you should, Shem wants to show you what a mistake you made. Look what you were giving up. Moshe is much greater than the ayo. Moshe has this light shining from his face. Obviously, he's on a tremendously high madrega. The ayo could have never substituted for Moshe. That's what the Das Kane. So what he's basically saying is that Hashem saw that Klai Yisrael did not appreciate Moshe sufficiently. That's why they wanted to make an ego, because they don't appreciate Moshe, so they'll make a different manik. We don't need Moshe, we can have another manik. So Mehmet Hashem had to show them, you know, you're wrong. Moshe is much greater than you think. Had Klai Yisrael done that, they would have realized that, they would have never done the chet ego, and therefore, to stop it from the future, or to correct the error, Hashem has to do this nes so they should come to appreciate Moshe Rabbeinu properly. Which, okay. So, besides the obvious chishra, I don't want to go that you see that Klai Yisrael did not properly appreciate Moshe Rabbeinu, that itself is a shtickle chiddush. But the chur, there's an obvious kasha here. When you read the psukim, It's beferish in the pasuk, and Rashi says it beferish. It's pashib shat. Why did they make the eagle? So the pasuk says beferish in the Amid Beis before that they saw that Moshe wasn't coming down. So they said, "Kizeh Moshe ho'isha adam yamitzrayim lo yadanu mahoyelo." Right. In other words, they thought that Moshe disappeared. Right. Rashi says it very clearly that they had simanim, they had clear proof. Moshe was supposed to come down the 40th day. According to their calculations, it was a day earlier because there was a way question how you count the days. And then besides which, he says, if you look down in the Rashi, right, he says that on the Bo'as Satan of Yir V'Sa'idam, the Satan turned around the whole world and he made a Dumuz Choshech, the Afeda, Aruvya. He made the whole world dark. Loimar, the people to say, Vadai meis Moshe. There was like clear evidence that Moshe died, and therefore that's what they said. The last Rashi, Moshe used to show us the way. Now we need someone else. So Rashi, it's not just Rashi, it's a pasuk, it's very clear that it's not that they wanted to, they weren't happy with Moshe. They were very happy with Moshe. They said, Moshe is terrific. We appreciate Moshe so much. And Bedavka, because we appreciate him so much, we're hopeless without him. Now that we realize how much we needed Moshe, he was everything. And now Moshe died. It's Vadai. That's what the Rashi says, that there was simanim that seemed to indicate that he was Vadai died. They had the days and the choshech. And Rashi says they actually saw Moshe as Mita. The Satan Rashi brings that they actually, that the Satan made, that the Mita, they saw like a bed going in, on a vay in Shemayim. So there was... they were clear that they believed Moshe is dead. So, okay, he's dead. What can we do? So we have no Breira. So the Das Kanim makes no sense. Das Kanim says that their hate was based on the fact that they didn't appreciate Moshe. And therefore Hashem says, oh, you don't appreciate him. I'll make a nay, so you should appreciate him. That had nothing to do with the hate. The hate wasn't because we didn't appreciate. Fakir, the more we appreciated, the more likely we'll do the chait, because the more we appreciate Moshe, the more we feel the need, the more we're going to have to get a substitute when Moshe dies. That's a nice question. So the answer, I think, maybe it's a simple answer, but it's a very sadistic answer. There's a sefer, a guy named Musser. He brings a beautiful story, and he brings... There's a place in Israel, Yerushalayim, called Davidka Square. Hashem seniors go to Israel. I don't know if they'll see it. It's not much to see. It's basically just a little cement in the middle of a street, a little cement island. And there's a little bit of stand. And on top of the stand, there's a machine gun. It's on Rehov Yaffa, where Yaffa meets Nevi'im, about two blocks off King George. Okay. Davidka, what's Davidka Square? Is that when in 48 the British controlled Israel, the British did not let the Jews have any weapons. On the other hand, the Arabs had already always had weapons, because that's Arabs always have weapons. The British liked the Arabs, they gave them all their weapons when they left. The Arabs already, Jordan, I believe, was a free country already, and Egypt was a free country, they had trained armies. So people were expecting a bloodbath, Chas V'Shalom, when the British would leave. Because here the Jews have no weapons and the Arabs have guns and everything. So they aren't thinking the Jews had as their heads. You know, that's it, Baruch Hashem. So they created secret weapon manufacturer. They manufactured weapons secretly. That's what the Davidka was, a Jewish underground weapon that they manufactured. That's what they're showing off there. A homemade underground machine gun that they figured out how to make under the British nose. So he basically, the Gyone Musser tells the story that in one of these factories, it was a secret factory right before 48, they were manufacturing weapons. It was in Yerushalayim. So he says the head of the factory came and he said that, you know, they knew when the British were leaving, so they knew when the war is going to break out. And they said he's leaving soon, in a month, 2 months, and we need more weapons. It's pikuach nefesh. So we're going to have to work on Shabbos. And even though, you know, I'm not religious, but I know some of you people are religious, Yerushalayim, Shomer Shabbos, but everybody knows pikuach nefesh is daicha Shabbos. Obviously, if there's going to be a war, and we don't have guns, and they have guns, that's pikuach nefesh. So we have to be, what can you do? Pikuach nefesh daicha Shabbos. So he says, everybody agreed. Yeah, sounds right. Pikuach nefesh daicha Shabbos. There was one person that says, you know, it sounds right, but I think I'll ask my rabbi first. You know, most people say, I don't even have to ask the rabbi. It's so push it. But one guy went, he went and he asked his rav, and on the spot, the rav said, usher. He says, why is it usher? It's pikuach nefesh. He says, pikuach nefesh, my foot. He says, how long a lunch break you people take? You know, you go in Israel, you'll see, it's a long lunch break. They go at least 2 hours, a lunch break. From 2 to 4, everything's usually closed. So you take a 2-hour lunch break. What time do you close at night? You have to have a supper, and then you go home. So stay open 2 hours during your lunch break. Stay open an extra hour at night. You more than make up the time. 6 days a week, if you open, and stay another 2 hours every day, it's the same as being home. You don't have to work on Shabbos. You want to have your lunch break. You want to have your... You know, get home at a nice hour, and you go to sleep on time, and then you say, "Oh, pikuach nefesh, it's ridiculous." So he asked Rav Brugger, I said, "Gosh, it's so obvious. So how come no one else realized it? It's so obvious." So he says, "Because that's the way it is. They didn't, because they didn't care, which means that if they don't, you didn't really care." So when they tell you, it's pikuach nefesh, oh, you're an Ines. Ines Rachmana Patre. Oh, it sounds great. Right? See, the truth is, over there, it's a little different. It's not that they didn't get that in the gear. They don't want to give up their lunch break. See, that's maybe even easier than over here. Over there, they have in the gear. You know, there's this rav saying, well, give up your lunch break. They don't want to give up their lunch break. They say, spend an extra hour at work. You know, instead of leaving work at 7, leave at 8. Oh, I don't want to stay at 8. You know, I want to eat supper, and at 8 o'clock I'm hungry already. But here, it's even a bigger chish. It's not pshat they had a negiah. They fakir, their negiahs was they wanted Moshe. Even according to their negiahs, that they didn't appreciate how great Moshe was, but they realized Moshe is a great manik. They're only looking for a substitute. They never said that they thought that the Ege would be better than Moshe. But they didn't care. Okay, we'll get a substitute, big deal. So we don't have Moshe, we'll get an ego. So when the Satan comes along and presented a superficial appearance that Moshe's dead, so if you care, so you stop and think about it. Is Moshe really dead? Wait a second, let me double check, triple check. You know, I got to really, it makes a difference to me. So I got to double check. If I don't really care, okay, Moshe's dead, I'll get someone else. You know, there's plenty of substitutes for Moshe. So then my rabbi's dead, I'll get another rabbi, I'll get the ego. I don't care. So the pshat is, when a person doesn't care so much, he's very liable to be taken in. But something has a kayach of creating, this is one of the kayachos that Hashem gives a satan. He can create illusions. He can create situations where it appears a certain way. Superficially, you look at the facts and the satan is right. And he's right. Moshe's dead. Vadai, clear rayas. He came down, he said he's coming on the 40th day. He missed the 40th day, he didn't come. Moshe would never come late, a day late. The whole world got dark. I saw Moshe's bed in Shemayim, right? The clear cut rayas, vadai. But that's all because you don't care enough. Had Klal Yisrael cared, they would have realized it's not vadai. It's a mistake. Your facts are wrong. And if your facts are wrong, then your conclusion's wrong. which means a very, very important Musar Haskel. Many, many people, they base their conclusions on facts. You ask a guy, how come you didn't get up for Minyan? I couldn't get up. I was not possible. I couldn't get up. I was too tired. It wasn't possible. I wasn't feeling well. I couldn't. Again, you want to say, a guy come to yeshiva to learn. I can't learn 3 siddharim. There's no way I can learn 3 siddharim. It's impossible. I can't learn. Right? Anytime I ask a guy for a favor, I can't help you. The guy's collecting. I need someone to do me this favor. Oh, you're asking the wrong person. There's no way I can do that. So sometimes it might be true. Can't say it's never true. Sometimes it's because we have a negiyah. Okay, that I understand. That's pashut. We have a negiyah. A guy asked me for a favor, and I don't want to do the favor. I have a negiyah. So I rationalize. But very often, it's not because we have a negiyah. But even without a negiyah, it's just because superficially, the world looks superficially a certain way. Superficially, yes, it looks like I can't learn 3 siddharim. I tried it once, it didn't go. So that's the way it looks. So, and I quickly make a conclusion because I don't really care so much. It doesn't bother me if that's my conclusion. If that's my conclusion, then, so I won't. Right? The danger, we always understand that people make mistakes because they have negiyas. But this is a different concept, which is perhaps just as common and maybe more common. People make mistakes, major mistakes in judgment. This is a major inyan. This was the greatest chait that Klai Yisrael did in the Midbar, that for Dairis, for Ad Hayom, it says in the Torah, we still get Anshim for the Tcheta Ego. Such a major decision. It was a result of a mistake. And the mistake was a result of not caring enough. People make mistakes in judgment. If they would have known the truth, there would have been no, it wasn't even an Isayan. If they would have known that really they made a mistake, that they miscalculated the days, it wouldn't have even been difficult. It wasn't like it was difficult. It was a mistake in their das. But their mistake in the das started because you don't care enough. When a person doesn't care, so the satan creates situations where it's superficially they look a certain way, and we don't care, so we grab, we accept those information, the superficial information as a vadayas. That's what Rashi says, vadai meis Moshe. That's it. It's vadai, no shaila, and then that's it. And then we lead our life on those conclusions. We don't feel an ounce of guilt in anything because that was vadai. I couldn't. I was an ines. There was no way possible. There was no other solution. It was totally impossible. And it was all a total mirage. Because that's what it was here. It was a mirage. Literally, not just figuratively. It was a mirage that Moshe was dead. There was no problem. Moshe's coming on time. Exactly on time. And the black in the sky was just a cloud. Just a mirage. And yet you're ready to swear, yes, he's dead, he's for sure dead, and we have to do something and throw out Moshe and we'll get an ego. Okay. So that, I think, is the first shmooze, that the idea is that a person, very often, we make mistakes in our major decisions in life based on wrong information. And the wrong information, very often, is based on because we don't care enough. We don't care enough to think deeper about the situation, not because we have a negiyah. And negiyah is okay, not because but we just don't care enough. It doesn't motivate enough to try and see beyond the superficiality of the situation. In light of that, I thought the second shmooze is also appropriate, because the second shmooze is the alshech, which is a different shot completely. Why Hashem made the Moshe's face shine. But maybe it also gives us a little extra motivation. And we're saying that you need more motivation to make the right decisions. So what does he say, just quickly, because it's late, that Yesh Hashodah, this is the Alshech HaKadosh, around the 1500s, I believe. Matzor Choyel Aso Su Yisporah Koronos Pnei Moshe. Why did Hashem have to do this miracle? Heim Emesh Ein Zusheda, it's not a Shaila. Ki Ratzakosh Baruch Hu Dehoyres Gedudas Torasa. Hashem wanted to show to Klai Yisrael the Geduda, the greatness in the Torah. Shemaknek Kedusha Tzveikim Ba. It gives people that are connected to a Kedusha. Ulahagdid Kedushas Moshe, to show us the greatness of Moshe. Velosay's taste, Cheshek, and to give it a motivation, believe Ish Israeli Lita Torah. So people should be motivated to learn Torah because you see the Kedusha. It says, Ko Adavik Bon Asiko, whoever learns Torah becomes Kaddish. The Chofetz Chaim brings a beautiful mashal. He says, we say this many times, that if you take a skin of a dead animal, which is a tray for things, so it's tummy, not tray, but it's tummy, and you write on it a Sefer Torah, the whole skin becomes Kaddish. Now you have to stand up when you see a Sefer Torah. If a Sefer Torah falls, you have to fast. It becomes a Dover Kaddish. So he says, so Kal v'chomer, if you write Torah on your brain, It transforms your brain into a living Sefer Torah. It's so much greater than a parchment Sefer Torah. So Torah, when a person learns Torah, he's making himself Kaddish. So what the Alshav says is that Hashem wanted to motivate Klal Yisrael to learn more Torah, to give a cheshek b'leiv ish Yisraeli nidavik b'Torah. So he showed them the Kedushas of Torah. So first, I think there's two Kedushim in this Alshek are very important. One is that we usually, when we try and motivate ourselves to learn, we emphasize the Gevaldike Mitzvah, Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, every word of Torah is a Mitzvah. But here is a whole different dimension of motivation. You want to be Kaddish. It's not just for the schar. It's intrinsically what Torah. Don't a person has a natural desire? He wants to be all he could be. A person wants to be great, great not because of what in terms of other people that I think for covet. A person has a natural desire. I want to be great for myself. I want to be as great as I can be. I want to be reach my potential. And here there's an opportunity, an ability. I go ahead and I walk around with all this schmutz and tumma and junk in my head, and I have an ability to be mekadesh me. It's a major motivation. This is what he's saying. This is what motivates people to learn. It's not just, okay, the other one's also a good motivation. But besides, you're going to get Adam Haba, you're going to get Hashem will love you, Hashem will give you reward, you'll get every word is a separate mitzvah, Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. It's what directly, immediately, what Torah does to you. Torah transforms you into a different person. Don't you want to become a better person? A person should have a desire. A rutzen. I can become a changed person. I can become a higher level person. That's such a drive. And the second chiddush, which we go together, is that this seems to be a drive for Klal Yisrael in the Dor HaMidbar. Now, it's Dor HaMidbar is called Dor Deya. Dor Deya, these are the people that saw all the nisim of Kriyas Yamsuf, of Zekeli Van Veil. They saw Kadosh Baruch Hu. And they saw Kabbalah Satorah. Kabbalah Satorah was the most amazing miracles of ever in the time of, you know, the heavens opened up and they said Anochi. They sort of saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they saw the if anyone saw Kedusha, if anyone understood, there was Anane HaKavod, Nitna Torah to Ochlei Man. There's so many chazals that the whole Torah was specially given only for Dor HaMidbar. They had no distractions. They had Moshe Rabbeinu teaching them. The Torah came down in the Shemayim. And yet they needed to motivate them more to learn an appreciation of the Kedusha Satira. So we always make a Kal v'chomer that if anyone in the Torah needed, were lacking, Kal v'chomer, we have that same lack. So obviously, we don't appreciate the Kedusha Satira. We don't appreciate what Torah does to us. We don't appreciate what he says here, Ko HaDavik Bo Naaseh Kaddish. And that is something to work on to inspire us, to motivate us to learn more, to motivate us to make the right decisions, to realize what Torah can do to us. So just to put the two shmuzim together, that very often people make mistakes in judgment, not because they have negiyas. If they have negiyas, that's pashut. But even without negiyas, just because we misinterpret information, But we misinterpret the information because we're not motivated to go beyond the superficial pashtus and to go ahead and realize that even though superficially, yes, it looks impossible, but it's not impossible. It could be done. It can be done. We fool the sultan creates illusions and mirages. So and here what the Auschwitz is saying that one of them, therefore, what we have to do is get ourselves more motivated. The more motivated we are, the more we'll see. Like in the Das Kedem, if we would Kleister would have been more motivated to love Moshe, they would have seen through the mirage. And we're saying by the Auschwitz is giving us a way to motivate us to be more one to learn by realizing what the Torah, besides like a whole different dimension of inspiration, besides Olam Haba, and even besides Bracha and Olam Haza, just the realization what Torah does for us intrinsically. And that itself can be a tremendous motivation to help allow us to see the truth of our potential and what we can succeed.